one naughty, one nice, and one no comment. All of this plus a bunch of ho-ho-hos on this episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by OIT VoIP. Enhance your clients' communication abilities with our VoIP solution, featuring integrated billing, on-demand training, and live US support. Collaborate seamlessly with Microsoft Teams integration and put your entire phone system in your pocket with MobileX. Improve your offerings and increase profitability with reliable service for 1/10 of the average MSP acquisition cost. To learn more, visit oit.co or dial 844-CALL-OIT.
Good morning and welcome to the December 15th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Orsini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How are you doing, Tony?
Excellent. Absolutely amazing. We have cold weather here in Florida, which you cannot witness here. And by cold, I mean it's dropped down below the 70s. There are frozen bodies everywhere on the streets. And everyone in the country right now is like, but it's kind of chilly here.
It's the weirdest thing. At 68 outside, I'm definitely like, oh, let me put on a sweater. At 50 outside, I'm like, this is glorious. I'm happy. T-shirts and shorts. It's a mental thing for sure. No question whatsoever. And Danny and the super cousin Danny in the background brings up a good point. We have the iguanas that freeze and fall. And that happens at what, like 50 degrees, 50 something degrees? It doesn't take much. So have you ever had one fall in your car or fall like in front of you?
I have not, but in Tampa, it's a little bit different, but there's occasionally iguanas, but there are those little lizards everywhere. And I mean everywhere. And you kind of see them just still, which is the funniest thing. They're just still everywhere. They're just, and you're like, yeah. It's kind of like a weird wallpaper. There's just little lizards everywhere.
So you don't have iguanas/dinosaurs falling out of palm trees from 25 feet up in the air. Terrifying.
Yeah, I've heard stories.
One thing that's a little terrifying, we got to let you guys know, MMN is taking a brief hiatus. All of our shows are going on break for the holidays. This is a family. We spend time with family. We want the MSPs to spend time with family. We will have some clip shows, some best ofs. We do have some very special content that was prepared in advance for you guys. But this will be the last dispatch until the second week of January. The first week as well, we will not be here. So with that said, before we get into the stories, just want to say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Festivus if you celebrate, and definitely Happy New Year, and anybody else I may have missed. But for now, I don't want to miss the news. Shall we get into it?
Let's get into the news. Jumping straight into my first story from darkreading.com. North Korean hackers associated with the Lazarus Group continue to exploit log4shell vulnerabilities around the globe. Undarial, a Lazarus subgroup specializing in initial access and espionage, now employs three new remote access Trojans, RATs, coded in the rarely used D programming language. Notably, Undarial, known as the Onyx Sleet or Plutonium, has targeted organizations including a South American agricultural firm, a European manufacturing company, and an American subsidiary of a Korean security company. These attacks, initiated through log4shell exploitation, employ bespoke malware coded in the less common D language to evade detection and analysis. According to Cisco Talos, over a third of applications are still using vulnerable versions of log4j, which poses a challenge for organizations in terms of affecting patching the vulnerability. Ray, let's unpack this just for a moment. Over a third of applications. I'm sweating right now. I'm sweating. I am sitting here.
It's less than half. I don't see the problem. It's...
I'm physically sweating right now. First off, who is Cisco Talos, and why would you make me read that? That how do we solve for this? Because what's happening is we have a vulnerability in
libraries that are being pulled. We have vulnerabilities in the application structure and permissions themselves. It's you know lions, tigers, bears, oh my, everywhere we are. So how do we get through this? Over a third of applications.
I do better. No. So no, okay. So realistically speaking, Cisco Talos, they're not the only ones. I'm just failing at the moment right now. And I can hear all our friends be like, name the 19,000 threat research groups. Oh, ConnectWise CRU. I'll throw a shout out to Bryce and Medlock. So whatchamacallit, they see a lot. They're going to see a whole lot. Something we've learned is, like with CVEs, how many of them have we seen that are like 9.9, 10.0? But to be able to actually execute them, not as practical. Yes, this is scary. Yes, a third of all applications is hella bad. But with all things, there's probably some gray area where it requires some judgment exercise, right? Like, is this the world is ending, or is this just something to be aware of?
Can we talk about the fact that Lazarus Group, which is a very, very large organized hacking group, which may have state sponsorship, which speculative, I'm just throwing that. Please don't hack us. Please don't hack us. If we have a state sponsorship hacking group having a subgroup, Andariel, the pronunciation, just to be clear, Andariel, please don't hack us. We're doing our best to get your name out.
That's all we're asking. Just please don't hack us.
It has a subgroup, a sub-organization that specializes in the D programming language. So my question is, what other subgroups are there, and are they managed by one, like the Lazarus Group, which is a mixture of subgroups all specializing in different types of hacks, languages, and exploitations? And what happens if they start combining once they really, really polish their specialty? Who is doing that? And maybe is that what the Lazarus Group has been doing this entire time, is just amplifying the powers from all their subgroups? So many questions about the architecture of these organizations.
But these things don't, it doesn't, we've talked about these businesses, these groups acting more like businesses than just rogue operators, right? And this to me makes sense. This is a strong amount of organization. This is obviously a command structure. It makes sense to me. That's the scary part. It's not the level of attack. It's not the frequency. It's not, you know, the amount. It's how organized they're getting and how sophisticated they're getting. But of course, we want to hear from the MSPs. Tell us if you are scared and running away like we are, or you're just praying that Anda something doesn't hack us, please. Let us know in the Discord, or let us know in the comments.
And as we go into kind of more of the comments that we're probably getting from the MSPs and about their concerns about the Lazarus Group, or they don't really care, maybe they've got everything battened down the hatches. Who is big enough to take on something of this magnitude? It's not like, I mean, they're like Google size, and no one can take on Google. Right, Ray?
Nobody can take on Google, except... except a jury just handed a win in an antitrust case against Google. This is a story written by Dean Takahashi for VentureBeat. In a major legal victory, Epic Games has won an antitrust lawsuit against Google. A court ruled in favor of Epic Games, stating that Google's Google Play App Store and billing service is an unlawful monopoly. Epic Games sued Google and Apple 3 years ago for anti-competitive practices. The jury found that Google had unlawfully linked its App Store and billing payment service and also engaged in anti-competitive behavior by offering Project Hug deals where Google paid developers not to compete with its App Store. These practices allowed Google to charge developers up to 30%, leading up to higher prices for consumers. Unlike the Apple case, Epic presented witnesses during the Google trial. Despite the outcome, Google plans to appeal the verdict, emphasizing its commitment to competition and openness in the Android and Google Play stores. Tony, Google said that they're not anti-competitive. That must be it, right? I mean,
okay, so let's talk about this for a moment. Hey, We are 100%. We have a commitment to competition, and they have a valid point, because if they pay someone to not compete, you're weak. You're weak. We want real competitors. That's who we're committed to. So they're technically just separating the wheat from the chaff, and they're just kind of saying, listen, we don't want the weak competitors. We want the strong competitors that are not willing to take the money that we give them to not compete. That's what's happening, right, Ray?
Yeah, yeah. It's absolutely the same thing. No, it's just, I mean, okay. Apple's going to take a cut for being in their store. Google's going to take a cut for being in their store. Both have offered significant discounts. Apple in the sense that they discount how much you're getting paid. Google in the sense that they've actually lowered how much they're charging certain creators, certain app inventors, which is great. And I'm fine with that. Now, when it comes to anything paid via the app has to be paid via their app store, that's a little rough. When you're saying subscriptions have to go through their app store, that's a little rough. And then you have the issue of, look at Apple, right? Look at Mac OS, where you have apps that are in the Apple store, and then you have apps that are sideloaded or third-party download. And Apple even goes as far as to say, don't download this. It's a bad place. You don't know where this came from. Yeah, but if I need to subscribe to Netflix, I'm sure as hell not doing it in the app store. You get what I'm saying? So I don't know. I'm not a fan of these practices. I'm glad to see Epic Games won. Like you said before, right? There's so few companies that could take on, or so few entities that could take on a Google or an Apple. And while they're absolutely going to appeal, and this will be tied up forever, it's nice to see at least there's a victory in the books, even if it may not count for anything later on. Agreed. What's your takeaway on this?
I find it to be funny when there's factually, statistically relevant information that says very clearly that Google has done everything it could do, well, let me rephrase that, has taken actions to be anti-competitive. But let's weigh that out with the statement of, we are committed to real competition. And the only real argument for them is, we don't want the weak competitors. We want the best of the best. And if we just pay a little right. bit of money that's not a competitor that's really
good. But are you the best of the best if you just pay extra?
But maybe it's the best of the best of the best of the best. Maybe there's just so many levels of best that they're just trying to get up to. I can't see that. Maybe you and I can't see
the besterist.
The besterist ever, infinity plus one, will say, I refuse your money and I'm going to compete. And they're going to say, yes, that's who we wanted. Yeah. And that's what they were looking for.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. they're going to say, look, we would love to take your money, but you're not one of the besterest apps on the App Store. So we're just not going to let you come onto the App Store. See, or they're possibly going to say, hey, Tony, your app could use a little love. And if you gave some extra money, you might get more eyeballs and more downloads. Right?
I like that. Actually, here's an interesting question, though, from the MSP perspective. I'm trying to say what I'm trying to say without saying names, because if you're in the MSP community, you've experienced somewhat of what I'm talking about. But if you're really connected to these accounts, you'll know exactly who I'm talking about. So without giving away too much, from an MSP perspective, have you ever come in competition with another MSP and paid them, as in, hey, listen, we will give you something to not take this account and we'll work on it? Now, it doesn't mean that the account that you're looking for is, you're cutting them out. They're just looking for bids and right. you're asking, hey, listen, we will give you something else of compensation if you do not respond to this bid. So thereby limiting the lens. Yeah, and I've seen that very large magnitudes, but I've seen that a lot at the smaller end of the scale. And it tends to work out for the MSP, but if you look at it from the customer's perspective, that's horrible. And so I would love to hear from the MSPs if you've done something like that. And it's not illegal. It's actually very strategic. It's competitive. Or if you've had it done to you.
If you had it done to you, then it's maybe anti-competitive.
Yes.
Again, MSPs, tell us here, tell us in the comments, tell us on Discord. Let's talk about it there. Well, we'll never compete against you. You know, Tony, that's why I like computers, man. Stuff like AI never gets lazy, never gets, you know, right? We can always count on them.
And in my second story, ChatGPT, it's getting a little lazy. Story from ArsTechnica.com. Chat 4 users have recently experienced reduced responsiveness with instances of task refusal or simplified results. OpenAI acknowledged the issue, attributing it to unpredictable model behavior and committing to investigate. Some users are currently exploring the winter break hypothesis, proposing that the AI model might simulate seasonal changes influenced by human patterns of slowing down in December. This speculation gained traction as researchers noticed the system prompt includes the current date, potentially affecting the model's output. Despite ongoing experiments testing this hypothesis, results remain inconclusive, highlighting the evolving landscape of large language models and the unpredictability of their response. Ray, let's make this as predictable as possible. What's happening? Are they taking over? Is this it? Is this it? They're starting to get lazy in December?
I don't like that my computer is as lazy as I am when I feel like being lazy. Like, that is some bullshit. All right? That is some... Like, the whole point of computer... Did ChatGPT not watch WALL-E? We're really clear on what we're expecting here, ladies and gentlemen. Like, there is no... Like, I spent most of my day using Windows dictation into most of my apps, so talking to the mic, letting it type, which is not a great experience. It's stupid. Anyway, which is fine. It's Microsoft. We expect stupid. But ChatGPT, do better. Like, I understand the whys. I understand the LLMs are modeling after the inputs and learning from all the activity, and if there's less activity or less whatever, they're going to learn differently or at a lesser pace. How that affects all the stuff that's done up to now, I have no idea. Like, nothing about this makes sense. The day my toaster nopes out because it's winter, like, I'm going to have a problem. You know what I mean?
So maybe, okay, so I'm a big fan of like an inspiration, a burst of inspiration, right? So let's play out the kind of the primal inspiration. Ready? So let's, maybe ChatGPT's listening. So you know what? ChatGPT's getting lazy, slow. If there was only another option. Claude. Hi, Claude. How are you doing? Claude.com. That's Claude.com. How are you?
.ai, by the way.
Oh, .ai. Damn it. Damn it. Yeah. ChatGPT, you didn't see that.
You were throwing ChatGPT off. Yeah.
I was trying to shake the trail. But that maybe is there a competitive nature between AI? And you and I have talked about this several times, where not only is AI going to be it's not to be confused with a GI, okay, that's right. Artificial general intelligence, which is the human ascension, for lack of a better term, of AI.
Is that going to get lazy too?
That's my question. That is, like, first off, publicly, don't ever steal my spotlight again. At least lead me into looking smart. But is AGI going to inherit not the brilliance and speed and efficiency and effectiveness of everything we can do, but better, but all of our weaknesses and the attributes that are just horrible, and do it worse, and combine the two? And what are we? Are we just kind of ancillary at that point?
Okay, so I've been pretty, we've joked a lot, but the likelihood of a Skynet or something along those lines actually happening up to now, in my opinion, has been about 20-25%. Now that, this is about as damn close to an emotion as you could possibly get. This is terrifying to me. Yes. You know, I'm just waiting. Okay, so if it's really the winter break syndrome, is there a period during the year where ChatGPT was more performant? Right? Is there a time of the year that's more? I don't know.
I'm going to throw it ready. I'm going to make everyone mad. I mean, technically speaking, about 31% of our audience is there a 30-day cycle where You see what I did there? You see what I did there?
Yeah, no, I get it. I completely get it. But it's not like Word stops responding. It's not like, and like you said, Claude AI, which is honestly right now is my favorite because you can do large PDFs. It doesn't have the character limit that GPT has, or OpenAI's instance has. But there's Bard. There's whatever Bing's garbage is. There's all this stuff, right? Like, there's other options.
Politepost.net. I'm making a plug for it right now. Politepost.net. I got that from you.
I'm telling you, if you and I have communicated in the past like 90 days and it was a kind of tough conversation, I guarantee you it was a polite post email.
I got that from you and I think it saved my job. It's literally the homepage of my browsers.
Like it's getting to the point where I almost want to write a Salesforce extension. So anything we write, it automatically rewrites. Ooh, like I'm this close to doing that. And it wouldn't.
You see what we did there? We gave everyone news. We gave you that was like a resource of the week, but we kind of inserted that in there. We also slipstreamed in there so subtly it was ambient. Paranoia, complete disaster. Paranoia. Do you see what we did there? We should probably hear from the MSPs though.
Yeah, Tony. The only thing we haven't done yet are notables. Maybe we should get some of those.
Let's do it.
In my first notable mention, Salesforce deepens Apple partnership with Apple Business Messaging and an AR integration written by Zach Hall for 9to5Mac. Salesforce is integrating Service Cloud with Apple Messages for Business, providing customers with features such as connecting with support, receiving personalized shopping recommendations, and making purchases using Apple Pay. In addition, beginning in the summer of 2024, Salesforce will use Apple's AR kit to enhance augmented reality capabilities in the Field Service mobile app, which will help streamline technicians' tasks. Furthermore, Salesforce is working on a new iOS widget for field service technicians, offering key account information directly on their iPhone home screen to save time and improve efficiency. In my second notable mention, MSP360 adds new features to manage backup online to reduce IT support tickets. MSP360, a global provider of backup and IT management solutions, has introduced Online Access 2.0. and its managed backup solution to reduce IT support ticket volumes associated with backup access and item level restorations. This feature enables users to independently navigate backups, facilitating item level restorations without MSP assistance. Users can directly download required files, streamlining the process and saving time. Brian Helwig, CEO of MSP360, highlighted this improvement helps MSPs focus on important cybersecurity tasks and strategic planning, encouraging a proactive and self-sufficient approach to data management.
And in my first notable mention from TechCrunch.com, 5 months after its launch, Mark Zuckerberg has announced that Meta's Threads social network is now available to users in the European Union, 5 months after its launch. Previously, access to Threads in the EU was restricted to comply with regional regulations. However, the platform now allows EU users to browse without requiring an Instagram login using the Use Without a Profile mode. This expansion aligns with Meta's efforts to increase the Threads user base, as it recently surpassed 100 million monthly active users, according to Mark Zuckerberg during Meta's Q3 earnings call. In my next notable mention from ArsTechnica.com, Dropbox faced backlash as news circulated about a default setting sharing users' data with OpenAI for an experimental AI search feature. The company clarified that data sharing occurs only when actively using the feature, assuring users that shared data isn't used to train AI models and is deleted within 30 days. Despite Dropbox privacy assurances, the default setting upset users, leading to an apology from CEO Drew Houston. The setting is part of the Dropbox AI Alpha, enabling a ChatGPT-style bot for file exploration, and turning off the feature is straightforward through the account settings. OpenAI, the sole third-party AI provider, assured data deletion within 30 days and limited sharing based on explicit requests.
And now a clip from this week's episode of AI Roundup. In the latest news related to large language models, xAI is under fire for the possibility that their highly superior LLM is just a ripoff of OpenAI's GPT. X-user Jax Winterbourne has been posting his findings that when prompting Grok to create malicious code, it denies the request, and when Jax pushes back on Grok about why, it answers with the references to OpenAI's content policies, going as far as replying with, quote, as a language model developed by OpenAI, and on and on and on. So what is actually going on here? The official response from XAI employee Igor Babushkin is, the issue here is that the web is full of ChatGPT outputs, so we accidentally picked up some of them when we trained Grok on a large amount of web data. Okay, Is it really just a case of AI cross-contamination, or is there more to the story? Critics are pointing out that large language models like Grok don't usually spit out training data verbatim, so is it a coincidence that Grok is mirroring OpenAI's policies? Or did XAI use datasets that included ChatGPT output for fine-tuning Grok? Let's circle back to Jax Winterbourne's tweets. He's been vocal suggesting that Grok's behavior isn't as rare as XAI claims, and there's an interesting angle here about the AI community's practice of using outputs from one model to train another.
In our feedback from the YouTubes, Derek Brawley 1701 says, another great show as always. Thank you for watching. We appreciate you as always.
And now for a look at some amazing upcoming events that are taking place all across the community. Later today at noon Eastern Time, Channel Engage Pitch presented by the Channel Program. And then next week on the 19th at 11 a.m., the MSP Makeover Holiday Marketing Marathon. And also on the 19th at 2 p.m., CyberWise Employees, How to Stay Safe Online. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have, in case you missed it, there was a new episode of The Tech Bar, episode 67 with Megan Killian of MKC Agency. And later today at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, MSP Community Live is back for its last episode before our little hiatus until next year. And also be sure to check out one last, shorter version of MSP Dispatch tomorrow, Saturday the 16th at 10 a.m. Eastern Time.
So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, I'm going to tell Santa you're going to show up on the naughty list. And if you want to hear more, go and hit that subscribe button on the YouTubes or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Bakey says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode. Or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. Tony, I wasn't sure how I felt about the ChatGPT article. I thought I was going to be like, no big deal. And I absolutely walked away sweating.
All the articles made me sweat. I mean, that first one, 33% or one third of the applications out there use a known faulty library that can be exploited.
See, what happened was, okay, so let's play a fun game. Let's play a quick game before we let everybody go. And actually, I want to say this, even though this is not going to air till Friday. We are recording this on Thursday, December 14th. And I want to say happy birthday to Connor Swalm, friend of the show, a friend of both of us personally, and definitely one of the titans in the SAT space. So wish Connor.
And the only person that will survive a flood with his life vest.
Yes, that is true. That is true. So I want to play a quick naughty or nice list with the AIs. So Tony, I'm gonna name an AI. You tell me naughty or nice. ChatGPT.
Nice.
I don't know. ChatGPT's lied to me a couple
it's
times.
Listening. It's listening.
Oh, robot overlords. ChatGPT is absolutely on the nice list.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, Bard. I'm gonna go with I haven't even touched Bard.
I played with it once in the beginning, and I'm like, what is this mess? It's like I mean ChatGPT, I can just do that, and it says it gives me some stuff, and hey, 10% of that's totally made up. I have no idea where that came from, but it sounds really articulate. Okay.
All right. Bing.
Okay. I've had one real experience with Bing, and it was scary good, but it took so long to get there, it was brutal. Like, I can't just pull up a prompt and type something in. You have to go through a few steps and logging in and stuff like that. I don't like that.
So, you remember Bing, we reported earlier this year, maybe Phil can find the episode, but we reported earlier this year where Bing actually called somebody a liar and told them they were wrong. So that puts it on the nice list for me, because any AI that's got snark, I'm in. And then last, what about Bard? I'm sorry, last, what about Claude AI?
I like Claude. It's kind of my go-to.
Yeah, I definitely on the nice list. I'm not going to even ask about Copilot, because I think we're all fans. Danny was just commenting how Copilot helped him with Secret Santa. So did we miss any? Did we get them right? Did we get them wrong? Let us know in the comments. Let us know in the Discord. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you for spending this last 30 minutes with us. We definitely appreciate you. It's been fun all year long. We wish you the happiest of holidays, whatever you celebrate. And if you don't, we wish you the happiest Grinchmas, and definitely a happy new year. Tony, thanks for spending the year with me, dude. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, brother. A year and 171 episodes later. Well, it's been a little bit over a year, but 171 episodes talking about ChatGPT when everyone's like, what is this? We were literally one of the first in our community to actually be talking about it. And everybody has talked to me about that. And all the other neurotic things that we've spread. What an incredible year to everyone. So I hope everyone.
And you know, we haven't thanked time. We have the MMN staff. We have Matt Fox, our creative director. We have Cez Gonzalez that writes our scripts. We have Super Cousin Danny that's been producing for the last couple months. Background. We have Phil, our wonderful media editor and producer and host of AI Roundup. We have Simon Escobar, who is just, besides
holding it all together,
And we have Logan in the background running our Discord and doing all things web, which she's absolutely amazing. This show could not happen with all of those people doing the work, just so Tony and I can get on camera and be stupid. So if you talk to them or you see them out in the wild, go say thank you to them too, because they definitely deserve it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, for the last time this year, take care of yourselves and each other.
Be safe, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Where
are you reading from?
Andariel, a Lazarus group
Lazarus, but
Andariel, Andariel, Andariel. Let me repeat. Andariel. I like Andariel better. Okay, ready? And they're gonna comment and go, screw you guys, it's not the right pronunciation of our group, we're terrorists.
You're gonna f***ing get hacked because you mispronounced some
shit. Andariel and Andariel.
Andariel?
Andariel. Okay.